modeling to work. But the amateur place that he cared to disgrace the boy who needed to shirk.
One did a boy you can tie to, a boy who is trusty and true, a boy who is good to the old people and kind to the little ones too.
A boy who is nice to the old folks and pleasant to sister and brother. A boy who will try when things go awry to be helpful to father and mother.
These are the boys we depend on, our hope for the future and then. Great problems at stake and the world's work away. Such boys when they grow to be men.
In the light of God, it's a great day to know the Lord is great day to know.
them just clap their hands and paws and things like that. And the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do, and the old cow just goes moo.
Before it was a stormy night when those two little kittens began to fight. The old woman seized her sweeping broom and swept the two kittens right out of the room.
The ground was covered with frost and snow, and the two little kittens had nowhere to go. So they laid them down on the mat at the door while the old woman finished sweeping the floor.
Then they crept in as quiet as mice, all wet with the snow and cold as ice. For they found it was better that stormy night to lie down and sleep than to quarrel and fight.
Eternal God, faithful and true, all of our longings come home to you. All of our longings come home to you.
True, all of our longings come.
also walked sometime when he lived in them, but now he also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Delicate
and their leather pouch had tightly tied the strings.
Never had there been a happier child. Filled with anticipation, Keturah hastily made her way to the village. As she merrily skipped along the path, Keturah's heart leaped with joy as she caught a glimpse of the woodcarver shop. Excitedly, she entered the woodcarver shop, pointed to the doll of her desire, handed the woodcarver his due, and joyfully received her long-awaited treasure. Now, with the precious doll in her arms, the little lady bade the woodcarver good afternoon as she began her stroll back home.
As Keturah stepped onto the cobblestone street, a poor, miserable-looking object of a man met her eye. He was standing but a few steps away and seemed though he were going to speak to her.
Attracted, doubtless by the innocent kindliness of her expression and the tenderness of her blue eyes, his lips moved, but no sound came from them. He stood aside to let her pass, with a mute, agonized appeal in his sunken cheeks and quivering chin.
"Did you wish to speak to me?"
asked the little lady, staying her steps. Encouraged by her winsome voice, the poor man said in trembling accents,
"I am very hungry. I would not ask for help if I were not ready to sink with hunger."
He pleaded with famine eyes and outstretched arms.
"I am sorry. I have no money nor food, or I would surely help thee."
His lips whispered forth a humble,
"Thank you, my lady,"
as he shuffled on his way, very hungry.
"Stay!"
cried the on the new doll. There was a quiver in her childish voice and moisture in her blue eyes as she softly spoke.
"Please wait."
The beggar turned slowly and rested his weary body as he beheld Keturah fondly gazing upon her precious doll. Within moments, Keturah knew what she had to do. With a determined gait, she walked back into the woodcarver shop.
"Please, sir, may I exchange my doll for the shillings I paid for her?"
"Are you not satisfied with your new doll, my child?"
"Oh, yes, sir, but there is someone who needs these shillings more than I need this lovely doll."
Carrying her corn-filled pouch, Keturah hurried out of the shop, smiled, and placed the whole of her savings into the hands of the starving man. He was like one thunderstruck. Never before had bounty rained upon him in such profusion.
The poor man murmured in low tone, then loud enough to reach her ear.
"If the Almighty God made you a queen, it will not be more than your goodness deserves."
As the little girl embraced the beggar with a passionate gesture of affection, he whispered,
"Indeed, my child, may the Almighty God someday make you a queen."
Several years later, Keturah became England's youngest girl ever to be crowned. Her name, Queen Victoria.
And so it is as Jesus said, "When you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me."
Today, just as splendid.
prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Or ministry, let us wait on ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching.
Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness.
Let that be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Believe that which is good.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Therefore, if that enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In my heart, sequestered chambers, lie truth stripped of poets' gloss. Words of
Sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. entreats you, oh, return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, oh, return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you.
God says, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27.
When we say, I don't know what to do,
God says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:4-5.
When we say, I can't do it,
God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13.
When we say, I'm afraid,
God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10.
For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. Isaiah 12:2.
When we say, it's not worth it, God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according unto his purpose. Romans 8:28.
When we say, does anybody really love me?
God says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isaiah 43:1.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40:8.
Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine all the time. Why should I care if the storm clouds are low? Jesus is with me, I know. He will never forsake me. I'm under his wing. No trials or take me. I will praise him and sing. I am never so happy. So why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine all the time. Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine all the time. Why should I care if the storm clouds are low? Jesus is with me, I know. He will never forsake me. I am under his wing. Though trials overtake me, I will praise him and sing. I am ever so happy. So why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus.
Jesus is mine all the time. Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine all the time. Although I cannot see the way your life's tempest trusted, I know that Jesus is my friend and that he'll pilot me.
So from downtown Jerusalem paused at the foot of the stair. He glanced at the beggars. How stupid, how lazy, he muttered, and gave them a glare. Why must the steps of the temple be littered with scum like these paupers, I say? Then scornfully sweeping right past them, he mounted the steps. He was going to pray.
A nuisance, this business of going to worship, when he could be making a shekel, selling his wares for a fat, ample profit. How Simon delighted to heckle. With his black, beady eyes, he would look at the folk who came to his stall in the market, and sizing them up, he would guess what they'd pay, and the top price was always his target.
Now climbing the stairs, Simon entered the temple. To worship, 'twas good for his trade. Why, every good Jew only dealt with good Jews, who tithed all their earnings and prayed. Looking left, looking right, Simon paused for a moment, and knelt with his head on the floor. Then brushing the dust from his good linen tunic, he strode to the box by the door. He dug in his pocket and got out some money.
Ah, people were pausing to see. Then, today, who put quite a bit in the poor box? Aha! 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 coins of silver. A lot for a man of his rating. He dropped them in slowly and carefully counted. The bystanders counted and waited. 26! Dear, how generous! Everyone thought. That is, all but one person, one who knew that in giving to God from the heart, there was nothing that Simon was worse in.
Next came old Jacob, a portly old gentleman, huffing along twixt the pillars, with a flabby white thumb stuck inside his broad sash. He was chief of Jerusalem's millers. He bought slaves left and right to do all his grinding. He raked in his money like hay. When the poor with their pennies would come to buy flour, scratching out their last farthings to pay, he'd stand by his counter and watch like a hawk every mite that they owed he'd exact. When they were not looking, he'd quickly dig into the sack and take some flour back.
Now Jacob brought tassels and hung from his robe, swept the floors, and chuffed up the aisle. He greeted the witch as he waddled on past him and greeted the priest with a smile. He clattered a coin in the cup of a cripple who happened to lie in his path. Holding his nose, he stayed beneath his breath. Why doesn't that wretch take a bath?
Then Jacob knelt on the cool temple floor and peered like he up to the ceiling. His hands tightly clasped, he recited his prayer with careful expression of feeling. That deed accomplished, he went to the box. Deep down inside his pocket he dug and put in the coins he had counted at home, feeling good and content and smug. Jacob went back to his mills and his slaves and his money bags hidden away. His hungry-faced customers fled at his ease that he'd taken some time out to pray.
Next, Gershom, a cunning collector of taxes, came into the temple for prayer. He was shrewd, he was sharp, he was richer by far than anyone else who was there. No matter to him that small children were crying because he'd taken a portion of gold from their fathers that he had no right to, a sin that is still called extortion. He twisted the rings on his cold, crooked fingers. As stiff and cracked, he passed by the poor, sweating beggars who lay on the step, glancing down with his hard, cruel eye. What was it to him that their ulcers were oozing and their elbows were knobby and sore?
So making his way to the temple to pray, he paused at the box by the door. Gershom poked round with the pouch that he carried. Clink, clink, clang, clink. When the pieces out, Gershom kept shoving the coins in the slot. How watchful that ugly old priest is, he angrily thought. This was costing a lot. Oh, well, the peasants had more. He would just make the tax a bit higher this week, and he'd soon have as much as before.
A widow edged up to the box by the doorway. Her face and her hands were all wrinkled, but her lips held a smile for the pauper she passed, where her gentle eyes happily twinkled. She stopped for a moment and whispered a prayer. Oh, thank you, kind God in the skies. You give me so much. I have strength. I have a mind. I can hear. I have two healthy eyes. I can work, even if it's just scrubbing for others, and though I get tired and worn, I have nothing to grumble about and complain, nor have had since the day I was born.
Now my debts are all paid, and have just a bit left, and so many there are who are poor. Here is all that I have, it is only two mites, and oh, how I wish it were more. So saying, she quietly slipped in the coins, and humming a tune went her way. She hadn't a clue there was someone who knew and heard all her heart had to say.
Jesus was standing and tenderly watching as the dear, dark-eyed widow went out. Then he gathered his friends who had also been looking, and he told them, there isn't a doubt about who is the happiest giver who came. Not the rich who thought they had to, but the poorly clad widow who prayed because she meant to and gave because she was glad to.
With a clang and a twang and a showing off bang, the richer of their gold gave a part. They went away poor, she went away rich, because she gave all she had from the heart.
baseball team never did very much. We had me and Pee Wee and Earl and Dutch. And the Oak Street Tigers always got beat until the new kid moved in on our street.
The kid moved in with a mitt and a bat and an official New York Yankee hat. The new kid plays shortstop or second base and cannot run a throw in any place.
The kid never mops the ground or fly, no matter how hard it's hit or how high. And the new kid always acts quite polite, never yelling or spitting or starting a fight.
We were playing the league champs just last week. They were trying to break our winning streak. In the last inning, the score was 1-1, when the new kid swung and hit a home run.
A few of the kids and their parents say they don't believe that the new kid should play. But she's as good as me, Dutch, Pee Wee, or Earl, so we don't care that the new kid's a girl.
Turn the time over to them at this time.
everyone. We want to give a great big thank you to all of you that made our 8 years of school possible and lots of fun. We've really enjoyed going to school here, and we want to thank our parents, our teachers, the school board, those that drove the bus on our field trips, brought hot lunch, and many, many others. But most of all, we want to thank God who's put all of us here for a purpose, and each of our desire is to fulfill that purpose, whatever it may be or wherever it may take us. Amy Carmichael once said, "Comrades, let us be resolute. Let us, by whatever name we are called, be soldiers, Nazarites, priests. Some will praise us, some will blame us. Let us not care too much about either praise or blame. Let us live looking up, looking on, standing true by the grace of him who has called us." Thank you.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you.
You.